Happy International Podcast Day, Mac.
Whoa, really? That's a thing?
Well, it was yesterday, but timestamps, what are you going to do? How did you celebrate the occasion?
By starting a petition to make this not a day.
Yep.
This shouldn't be a day.
No, it should not.
There's too many days. There's too many days. Now, Goo, I don't want to pretend, you know, society are two extremes these days, right? You're either woke or you're a MAGA idiot. Those are the two things you got. I find myself in between often because I'm a normal human being. This is one of the things that a lot of people point to, like the older generation, too many participation trophies, right? Right. We don't need, as podcasters, and we're speaking for every podcaster in the world right now because that's our voice. We don't need a day. Why do we need a day?
Number one, look at Mac on his cloud of judgment. Number two, every day is International Podcast Day. Especially when you got Mac and Goo and there are 430 episodes to listen to.
Whoa, is that what we're up to?
We're at like 440 with like all the news dumps and everything else. What should we do? Because we kind of shit the bed on 300. That wasn't a good episode.
What did we do for 300?
We did Know Your Bro.
We should both get tattoos.
I was actually thinking about this earlier. So on my left calf, I have a photo. I have a tattoo of my father.
Isn't it a picture of your father from his prom?
No, like his prime, I would say, not his prom.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if he went to his prom. But on the other side, like on the mirror calf, I was thinking of getting this, but am I too old for this? This photo of Alf.
I think you should get an Alf, just the outline, not colored.
Yeah, no. I think it would just be like the, because this is kind of like the Conan logo, where he had just like the lines, like the symbol of Conan, but it's Alf. Now, do you think I should include the sunglasses or take the sunglasses off? Because the sunglasses kind of signify that he's cool.
I would keep the sunglasses for sure.
I think you keep the sunglasses.
I wouldn't be too worried about this because this would not nearly be your worst tattoo.
Which one's my worst? Because I do have a couple.
I think your initials is the worst one.
What? That's for me and my bro. I know my bro. We both got the same tattoo.
I would say that people would probably say, well, the photo of your dad's weird because he's alive. You know,
he is alive. And so is an elf.
Think,
the puppet, at least.
People think your horns are a canoe.
Well, here's the thing, Mac. When you mess with the bull, you get the horns.
You went through a phase. You had a phase.
I went through, I want to say, less than a year, I got 7 tattoos. I wish I didn't. I do like a couple of them, but I definitely wish I did not get that. But I do wish that I had this Alf tattoo, and I think it would look great opposite my father.
What's your favorite tattoo that you have?
Maybe the turtle with the roses on my chest. I like that one.
Okay.
I also like the cross that I have on my former abs.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I think the Alf one could become your best tattoo.
This one's great, too. The Triskaidekka.
That one is confusing for me because I don't understand the symbolism behind it.
It's Sicily.
That's it? Just Sicily?
It's on the Sicilian flag. And what's
is
fun,
it really?
Fun fact, the lady that's in here, the Medusa that's in the middle of this Triskaidekka.
The Medusa Oblongata.
It is the wife of my tattoo artist.
That's who he used for the model?
Yep.
That's a little weirder.
So
a little weirder.
Next trivia.
Why
look for that as a question.
The Sicilian flag lady?
I wanted a more realistic face. The other one's kind of cartoonish.
Gotcha. But now you're going to go and put Alf on your leg, so then it won't really matter.
But it's a stencil of Alf.
If you get an Alf tattoo, I'll get a tattoo.
Am I too old for it, though?
No.
Good point.
One, goo, three, yeah!
Mac and Goo.
Jaws 3.
Mac and Goo.
King of Queens.
Mac and Goo.
Meryl Streep.
Mac, Goo, and
Entertainment.
I'm Goo.
And I'm Mac. I'm now sitting here wondering, what makes me me? What would I get tattooed on me in response to your elf?
This is not a podcast about that. We're here to talk about Venom, Let Him Eat Cabbage.
I know, but now the gears are spinning, you know?
So you want something that makes you you. So what we want
Alf
you to do,
you.
We want the listeners to do right now is tweet at us right now. What do you think Mac should get tattooed on him that makes him him?
Just like a swear bone, a swear word on my collarbone?
What swear, though? That's really what we need to know.
That would be the Twitter poll, I guess, right?
I guess. That's what it is. Yeah. We're the Mac and Goo program. We bring you friendship.
Yeah, and today we are bringing you symbiotic relationships, Goo.
Yeah, that was a word used in the movie.
Yes, it was. Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Venom.
The second
Venom movie
in the Venom series. And it's a movie. It's a movie that we saw in the theaters.
It's kind of a movie.
What they do, and I think we're actually going to disagree on this, what they do is they take the most tolerable parts from the first one, and that's all this second movie is.
I don't even know if they do that, because they definitely lean more into the antsy, kind of strung out Eddie Brock that really isn't great. That's not a fun watch.
Yeah, so full disclosure, I'll own this, right? This is my cross to bear. I liked the first Venom too much.
Okay, so I just figured out what you should get for your tattoo. It is a photo of you with a cross on your back carrying a cross.
And Venom is on the cross, I think. I believe upon leaving the theater and reviewing the first movie 3 years ago, 2018's Venom, I believe I gave it 30 hot dogs, which is too high.
I want to say 28, and that was too high as well for myself.
That said, that like 24 to 30 range is sort of where these movies fall, just above the equator and below objectively good.
Well, where that movie falls. This one ain't great.
Oh, this is better than the first
one.
Yeah, it is.
No. And let me explain why very, very quickly.
It doesn't get bogged down by anything.
So both of these movies are uber forgettable. But the first one at least had like one semi-standout scene, and that was the museum where he starts biting off heads, and then he transfers the Venom, the symbiote, into Anne.
I agree. That has the best scene of the two movies.
The only scene.
The first movie is bogged down by too much explainy stuff, too much nonsense. This movie doesn't have any of that. None of that. And it's a pretty quick watch.
This is bogged down, and I'm only going to say this once because I know people have this on their bingo board. Everybody is chewing the scenery. Ding, 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 ding.
That was an intentional move, for sure.
Woody Harrelson is unbearable in this movie.
Yeah, but he's doing Woody Harrelson things, right?
No.
Yes.
No,
yes.
He is doing things that comic book villains did in the late 90s, early 2000s. This entire movie...
This movie fits in perfectly in 2005.
Say, this movie fits perfectly. It feels like a 2005 X-Men movie, specifically X-Men.
Yeah, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is, like, we have spoken many kind words upon those movies. Now, we've seen a bazillion better comic book movies since.
A Dan bazillion?
But what I'm saying is... Most of our criticisms of the first one aren't in this one. They got rid of that shit. Now, the stuff that they left us with isn't that great, but it's quick. It's not bogged down by dialogue. And even though the climax is super predictable
and stinky,
and we kind of know what's going to happen the whole fucking movie, it's better because there's less wrong. That's sort of what I'm looking at it as. Not much better. Not much better, but slightly.
So first things first, I think you should get a tattoo of Dan Bilzerian anywhere on your body. And then second thing, Mac, what are the nuts and bolts of this movie?
Venom, Let There Be Carnage is a rated PG-13 action sci-fi thriller with a runtime of 90 minutes, Goo. Now, you said 97. IMDb still says 90.
You know what's crazy is it felt like 3 hours.
Did it?
Well, the first two acts did. The third act did go by rather quickly, but doesn't necessarily help it. But at one point, and first off, there was 40 minutes of trailers at my theater. I don't know what is happening there. Also, I spent like $50 to see this effing movie. I hate myself for that. And
yeah, you should have gotten a Majestic 7.
My wife checked her phone around like the 10 o'clock time. So we saw it around the 8 o'clock time. We saw it at 7. And I was like, we are only an hour into this movie. It felt so long.
Yeah, but you had a 40-minute... you know, tease, intro.
It didn't help.
Movie.
It didn't help. And I was waiting for a Spider-Man trailer.
You know what? AMC does that. AMC theaters give you a time, and that's the time the fucking trailers start, which is bullshit. Absolute bullshit.
You know what? I'll say this. I don't think movies need to show trailers anymore. They're so easily accessible online, on Twitter, everywhere, where that should now be gone. They should just show the 3-minute film, the 3-minute video of let's all go to the movies. Let's have ourselves a snack. Everyone, you know, the dancing hot dog. And then you just get right into the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, turn your phone off.
That's
maybe give me one trailer or maybe like a look-in with a director about something, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's all I need, and then get to the movie. So Majestic does a good job, I think, because it's like an independent theater. It's usually one, maybe two trailers beforehand, and that's it. And you get right into the movie, no time wasted. Goo, that 90-minute runtime on Rotten Tomatoes has been given 58% from the critics.
That's rather high.
86% from the audience.
That feels about right. This is where
now,
the audience
comparatively,
always leans.
The first movie had 30% from the critics, which seems it seems odd for them to like this double the first movie. 81% from the audience in the first movie.
One of the critics wrote, "This is doubly as good."
I described this movie. I was asked my I got home last evening. My roommate asked me how the movie was, who he's a large Venom fan. And I said, did you see the first
one? He's also an
idiot. He said, yes. I said, it's a lot like that. That's how I described this movie.
I would say that this movie is louder. That's it. That's all I got. It's louder. It was
you
uber
know what
loud.
Really didn't? My biggest gripe about this movie, honestly, and we'll get to this in a second, is there was a lot of like jump cuts, weird editing, directing stuff. Where it didn't focus too much on the CGI of the monsters because the CGI wasn't great.
So I think the reason for that is that there was a longer cut and then someone saw it and they're like, this isn't necessarily good. We need to cut it down for the core audience that likes this, which is, you know, teenage kids and like, you know, the core Venom people. Like, let's still give them their movie, but let's make it 90 minutes so it's a bit more accessible to everybody else.
Would they be Venomites?
Venomites.
Venomiers?
Yeah, Venomites. So let's make this for the Venomites.
Okay, all right. Goo, a Metacritic gives this a 48.
Is that good?
Which is honestly pretty high. First one got a 35.
Ooh.
35 seems more right. So this is exactly one of those comic book movies that critics are supposed to hate and a lot of fans like. Sort of what you were just
classic
pointing
me.
Up before.
I'm a critic.
And it's a lot like those Aquaman types, which is why we set that equator in the first place. Because it's a movie that's not good. It's not a good movie, but there are things in it you understand why people would like. Like in this, for example, there's a gigantic fight between Venom and Carnage that I'm sure there are fans out there that have been waiting 40 years for that, right? And they finally got it on the big screen. Now, the degree to which it was good for those people might not matter. It's just the fact that they got it, I think they like. For critics, they're not going to like any of that CGI bullshit, but they're telling me at 58%, that this is nearly twice as good as the first one.
That the critics liked the buddy cop aspect of Eddie and Venom.
I like that. That's definitely the best part of both movies.
I think it's the only like redeemable part of the movie, but it isn't necessarily something that makes it float.
And I'll say this, the joke percentage was real low. It was the first one too.
It was arguably zero.
There was a couple ha-has, right? I really like the Mrs. Chen stuff. I need more Mrs. Chen. Because she's like the everyman. You know, I want her reacting to stuff a little more. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So we'll get to it here. So this movie was written by Kelly Marcel, who has a jarring writing career. She's done Saving Mr. Banks, one of Goo's favorites.
I do like
50
that
Shades of Grey, one of Goo's wife's favorites. She did Venom, and she's also done Cruella. So I don't know what she's doing with
this
her life.
This movie did feel like Cruella, now that I'm thinking about it.
But Goo, secondary to that, Tom Hardy also got a writing credit on this movie.
Tom Hardy
apparently
makes a lot of sense. Reached out to all of the musicians that are on the soundtrack too. Like that was his job to like reach out and be like, can you please be on the soundtrack? Eminem's back.
Yeah, and he sort of willed the first movie to not being a complete pile of shit, right?
Yeah.
And I think this movie doesn't, I don't want to say that. This movie needs him as much as the first movie needs him. But again, I think there was a couple more things in this movie we could point to. I don't know. Like Michelle Williams is still super likable, but she's in the movie for like 15 minutes, right?
I think she's better in this one.
She might be better. I think she's sort of leaning into it, though. That's why, you know, she's less serious and more comic booky.
I suppose. Who else is in this movie? Let's get through these nuts and bolts.
But finally, this movie was directed by Andy Serkis. And we only have seen him do this movie Breathe, which was an Andrew Garfield movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that movie?
No, but I've heard of Mowgli.
Yeah, and he also did Mowgli, the Netflix Jungle Book movie. And neither of those movies did particularly well. And now we all know Andy Serkis from everything. He's done everything ever. Great mocap actor, great voice actor. And I wonder if directing's just not his thing.
And I'm also curious, because I thought that maybe the dynamic between Eddie and Venom would actually be better, because Serkis had done so much stuff with Smeagol and Gollum, the split personality. I was hoping for more of that.
Yeah, I liked that part, though. I liked the Eddie Venom stuff. I almost said Eddie Vedder.
Eddie Vedder stuff. I like when he covers old 1950s songs.
That shit works for me. I guess that's probably why I was forgiving of the first movie. But anyways, synopsis. Eddie Brock attempts to reignite his career by interviewing serial killer Cletus Cassidy, who becomes the host of the symbiote, as I said in the first one, Carnage, and escapes prison after a failed execution.
I'm actually happy that you brought up Eddie Vedder, because it seems like Woody Harrelson was doing the Eddie Vedder face for most of the movie. This thing.
I remember the post credit in the first movie is this Cletus Cassidy scene. Was it Eddie going to visit him, or was it just Cletus hanging out in the cell?
I feel like it was Cletus hanging out in the cell, but he was like, I want to talk to Eddie Brock or something like that.
Very forgettable.
It's extremely forgettable. And I watched it, or I saw pieces of it recently on FX. And dear God, that final fight scene in that movie is just sludge on sludge.
Worse than this one. This one was a little better. This one wasn't good, but it was better. Is the first one more forgettable? I think the first one's probably more forgettable.
But the first one has the museum scene, and that's really all I can remember from either of these movies.
Yeah, you could go in Chompy Chomp.
Yeah, Chompy Chomp.
So this movie stars Tom Hetty. Tom Petty and Eddie Vedder. Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock / Venom. And again, he's doing the voice of Venom, which I think is really cool. Woody Harrelson as Cletus Cassidy / Carnage. And he's actually doing the voice of Carnage as well. A point on that, though, and I think this would have been even better, but maybe wouldn't have made as much sense. Woody Harrelson actually wanted Andy Serkis to do the Carnage voice.
You know what? He should have.
Pretty cool.
He should have.
That would have been real nice.
There was a part of this movie where, not to give anything away, but Carnage does this move where he does like a twister. He does like a,
yeah,
you know,
like a tornado thing.
An indoor tornado. And my wife looked at me and she goes, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's like, and I don't know much about Carnage, but I do know he has like all sorts of weapons and more abilities than Venom.
You know what I know?
That's sort of the thing.
He's red.
He is red.
He's red.
That's right. Like my sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. Michelle Williams plays Anne Weying. I don't know how you pronounce that. I probably did the same thing 3 years ago. She's good. She's good.
I like her in
Naomi
this one
Naomi Harris plays Frances Barrison / Shriek. I don't know anything about this comic book character. Do you know anything about this character?
She yells.
She yells. Yep. She's got this like sonar thing. Her in Woody Harrelson's character, Cletus Cassidy, apparently boys since day one.
I thought they both stunk.
They were the most like 2000s of the, like, because the movie's so heavy on them, that was like the most 2000s thing, right? Mm-hmm. They were straight out of a 2003 comic book movie. Reed Scott reprises his role as Dr. Dan Lewis. He makes me laugh. I like him. He does it pretty well. I'm in on his character, even though he means nothing. Stephen Graham, Goo, as Detective Mulligan, who I think is going to play a larger role down the line.
Yeah, he'll be in Venom 3, and we're in for some more sludge on sludge.
He felt like he was acting in a different movie. He was over-the-top serious, right? All the other characters are kind of having fun. He's too serious.
Oh, I laughed out loud when he threw that chair.
After the big hole in the
wall? Yeah, he threw a chair, and I'm like, come on with this.
It wasn't a great chair toss either. It was like Bobby Knight level. It like barely got off the ground. And then Peggy Lou is Mrs. Chen. So those are the only real characters we care about, the only real characters we meet in this
that
movie.
That we care about. Real loose care about.
Okay, fast and loose with the word care. I'll say this. I still love Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock / Venom.
I do not. I don't like that fidgety Eddie Brock. And there were points in this movie where when he was reacting to things, he reminded me of Tim Robinson reacting to things, and I think you should leave.
What? Wow. That's funny.
What?
It's a funny hat.
It's a funny hat. It's an oversized hat. That's why it's comical.
But I think you have to put this into context, though, right?
No.
Now, I don't want to spoil anything, but think of to all of the Spider-Man villains we've gotten in the past. They're all super campy. And so I think Venom fits in knowing that.
So you're saying in the past, you mean the Raimi-verse.
I mean the Raimi-verse. And even if you think to Amazing Spider-Man 2, like Electro is kind
of... Okay, well, I'm sorry. I forgot all about the web-verse. But you're saying everybody outside of the Vulture and Mysterio.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Doc Ock, borderline less campy, but yeah, it still has that campy aspect to him.
Right. So I think if you put this character in context with them, it feels a little better. But I do understand.
I think it's a bit more goofy than those other characters.
That's fair. That's fair. He is Venom, though.
Yeah, he's a big talking dog.
I don't know. I just felt like I didn't have a lot of fun with this movie. I thought I was going to have more fun.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. Let's just get into the gauntlet real quick.
Yeah.
The old octagon. And first up is fun factor. I had none. I had zero fun in this movie. Besides, there were motorcycles.
Two, in fact.
It's a lot of motorcycles, right?
I went in with like a clean slate.
Yeah.
Right? Because the first one wasn't great, so the bar's pretty low. And then this one was getting better reviews from the critics. So I'm like, maybe it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, okay, so the reviews that I saw were it's a disjointed mess, but it knows what it is. So like it leans into being this goofy, campy, you know, garbage type of a movie, like an Aquaman or like Aquaman could have been. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll enjoy that because that type of shit sometimes is right up my alley. This was not.
Yeah, see, I'm very much looking at this in the same lens as I view Aquaman. It's stupid. Everything about the movie is stupid, but you know that going in. So then when you already know that, you don't feel as bad about it. There are some fun moments. There are some cool moments. But overall, the whole thing's stupid.
Satisfactor, I was not.
No, there's no great, real, satisfying moment in this movie like there was in the first one when Venom went real choppy.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little bit of that, but it was mostly Carnage stuff. And they didn't really give you good looks at the Carnage stuff because the CGI wasn't very good.
Right.
So it was all like way back shots or super zoomed in and you couldn't see the full thing. And I thought that was a real issue. That might have been the biggest issue with the movie is really like the shit that they're trying to do. They don't give it to you in the best way they could.
Cletus has a real nice haircut, though. So give him that. Barometer. And I was uber bored. I was so bored in this movie.
See, I don't think I was bored. I don't know if I was bored, but I was left like wanting more fun.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't not fun, right? I just wanted more fun. That's sort of how I felt.
Awkwator, and I have it below the Awkwator. And when that happens, Mac, we then need to bring up the depths of Hellboy. It's better than Hellboy.
Nothing's worse than Hellboy.
Hellboy is still just an unwatchable piece of shit.
I'm having trouble with this because I rated the first one better than Aquaman, and I feel
and you
like
think
this
one's better
than the first one,
but
I might give it 25. I think I'm gonna
the Aquator's 24. Heads up,
yeah. I think it's barely floating. Mm-hmm. Again, it's in that like if you told me Aquaman's better, I'm not fighting you on it. I don't care. I don't care enough about either movie.
Halloween. Will our interest wane over time? And I think that we're going to forget all about this, and it's going to be one of those movies that within a year or two, we're just like, this really did stink.
Yeah, we could just be looking at this for other reasons in a couple of years. Yeah, it's forgettable. I don't want to watch either Venom movie really ever again, but I didn't hate either one. So that's where we're at with Venom.
Hello, Mac. This is William Hung, and you deserve so much credit. No one else gets it but you. I wish you would mention Spice World on the show more.
I forgot that I put the longer clip in there, but who's in your credit union?
It's got to be Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock / Venom. It's just that character is good. I don't care what you say. I like the character. I like the depiction of it. I like the weird, you know, softball head floating around him. I don't know who else I would give it to if I didn't give it to him.
Michelle Williams for her small role.
Okay.
Maybe. Right.
Yeah, maybe, possibly. But then that's sort of a waste of an award, right?
The mid-credit scene.
Like, the Sixth Man Award?
The mid-credit scene.
Yeah. Yeah. The mid-credit scene is the best thing about this movie.
It is. So we shouldn't have buried the lead, but that is the best part of this movie.
Okay.
Also,
yeah.
I figured out what you should get tattooed on your body. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, I would like that. Yeah, all right, Goo. Max Credit Union. Credit to the mid-credit scene of this movie.
We've said this a million times, that if the mid-credit or the post-credit is the best part of the movie, you got a real stinker on your hand.
Yeah. That said, you sort of got to see the movie because of the mid-credit scene.
Pants, Tent, City. Excite, Bike, Mania. Did anything in this movie get you going? And I am flaccid.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. And again, I don't want to spoil it. We'll be spoiling in 2 minutes. But I did have a pants tent when the movie's runtime was over and the credits were on the screen.
Good point. Good point. All right, Mac, for those of you tardy to the Mac and Goo party, we rate everything on a 40 hot dog rating system, and I shall go first. And I'm going to go a little positive negative on the people. And let me start out glass half full here, Mac. Glass half full. I'm a positive guy. At least that's what my last HIV test said. I don't like that line.
It's too busy sipping a coffee to laugh at that one.
I don't like what I just said. I shouldn't have said it.
You don't feel great about it.
I don't feel great about that joke. I don't like it. Okay, so yes, there were motorcycles. I like the soundtrack. The soundtrack's good. You got some Czarface on there. Sure, Eminem. Yeah. I like that soundtrack. Good. The mid-credit scene is dope. And at one point in this movie, maybe the highlight of the entire movie, and it might win the Mailman Award, Carnage says, "Let there be carnage." At that point, I looked at my wife and I said, "He said it."
You know what I pondered? Now, I wonder if it's because Venom does talk about this hive mind thing.
Mm-hmm.
How did Carnage know Venom's name?
That's his dad.
But they never met, right?
I feel Cletus like if you never met your dad, Eddie. You would still know his name.
I wouldn't even know what to call
Carnage
him
Carnage could tap into the internet. He probably looked at his Twitter or his Facebook or something.
Yeah, it did make sense when he knew Venom's name, like when they were doing the wedding invites there. Not great.
There was a wedding, by the way, guys. The negatives, Mac, this movie stinks out loud. And when I say that, I mean it is very, very, very loud. Distractingly loud. This is an uber loud movie. And also, on the screen, all the CGI, also very loud. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's just overall a very loud, garbage, cliched movie that has every trope possible from all the comic book movies in the mid-aughts.
I wonder if the audio was so jarring to distract you from the visual, because the visual was
That's what
lacking.
They were doing. They were trying to distract me. Like, at one point, I could hear one of the speakers say, "Look over here."
Everyone look to the top left of the screen now.
I don't like any of these characters, and I think that's definitely an issue when you're watching a movie.
Yeah, sure, but I don't really understand why you don't like Eddie Brock.
He is overreacting to everything, and there is nothing I find redeemable about his character. He's always, like, shaking and sweating and stuff. No, thank you. The first one at least had a semi-cool standout scene that I can at least remember. Is it the best? No, but it's at least something, and it's a Venom type of a scene, and this just feels like a mid-2000s X-Men movie, and I feel like we're past that. 18 hot dogs.
18 hot dogs. That's low.
It is low, but I didn't like the movie.
So you would say the first one is better. And what would your retconned first dog score be?
22. 23.
So still below the equator. All right. Although, but you have Aquaman at like 26.
Well, I think we agreed on 24. We said hive mind, venom mind, symbiote mind, 24. Yeah. That's what it is. So I would have it just below there. And it's really an issue that the movie can't get you to rewatch it. There's nothing in there to make you want to rewatch the movie.
A lot of what you said isn't necessarily wrong or I even disagree with.
Well, read your tattoo. Really, it says, "I don't care what you say."
I just really like the Eddie Brock character. Now, it may not be completely faithful to what the comic book gave us.
I don't even care about that.
Oh, we don't care about that, of course.
It's not good behavior.
If we get those tattoos, Santa's going to be real upset with us.
We're not getting Christmas gifts this year.
I just like, and I almost felt vindicated by the end, right?
I don't have the song. Do you just want to sing it?
I like the Eddie Brock character. So I'm glad we're going to see more Eddie Brock as Venom. Now, Deadpool's better, but this is sort of what we've talked about Deadpool. How would Deadpool fit in with other characters we've seen, right? It'll be kind of hard, and I think we will be dealing with that with some Venom stuff.
I think that Deadpool would fit in better, much like in Deadpool 2, when you just had that quick clip of the X-Men in the X-Mansion being like, "Ugh, we don't want to talk to this guy." I feel like the other's response to Deadpool would be funny to go along with Deadpool's jokes, where I just don't think Venom fits in with anything. It doesn't fit in with the genre or the tone of any of the other movies.
You could be right. I'm not saying you're not right about that, but I do like the character.
What's your hot dog score?
I'll give it 24. I'm going to give it 24.
Right on that equator.
Refuse to put it below Aquaman.
Okay. I think the people are here more specifically for the spoilers, and there's really only one thing that we need to talk about in the spoilers, and that is, Mac, the detective is going to come back next week, not next week, but next movie, as Toxin, I believe. Is that it?
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! Toxin! We're getting more sludge on sludge! Yay!
You actually went to the movie theater prior to me, and somehow we ended up seeing the post-credit at nearly the exact same time.
I was losing my mind.
The post-credit of this movie brings Eddie Brock's Venom into the MCU, into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Eddie Brock, following the events of this movie, is on the run. He goes on vacation in some random island. All of a sudden, you get this scene where you think Venom's going to show him some cool stuff about the past because the symbiote's really old.
Yeah.
And you get this blip almost, right? It's kind of a blip.
Big flash of light.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he's in the same place but in a different time. And on the TV screen, we see J. Jonah Jameson being played by J.K. Simmons talking about Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Now, this is something we all wanted to happen. We want the Spider-Man stuff to cross over. But I didn't think we were getting it right now. I didn't think Venom was going to pop up in the Spider-Man movie. But he is.
Three things here, maybe even four. Number one, when this first happened, I was like, holy shit, this is cool. But then 5 seconds later, I said, wait a second. I don't want this character mixed in with my MCU.
Yeah, but we're getting
I get it.
But like this character, like we're going to get Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. That's going to be ridiculous. More ridiculous than this in the MCU.
Yeah, but I feel like Tom Holland's going to say, who's this ridiculous guy wearing the Power Rangers outfit?
Yeah, but that could work. And then, so this is what I'm talking about earlier with the Spider-Man villains, right? So now we have Venom, we have Doc Ock, we have Green Goblin, we have Vulture. Who are the last two? Is Mysterio still going to be part of that? Or is it, like, who's going to be the Sinister Six?
Would they have, what's his name from the end of Spider-Man Homecoming in the jail? Okay. That fella.
Oh, Scorpion.
Yeah.
Scorpion. And we have seen the Shocker guy, too. Mm-hmm. I think they are setting up something like that, or we're going to get it in that Spider-Man movie. But moreover,
Electro too. Electro. Huh? Electro.
Yeah, Electro. Oh yeah, that's right. We're getting
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. So this movie, the next Spider-Man movie, is called No Way Home. And I think for a while, no one really knew what that meant, and we've all been playing with this theme of home through all of the Spider-Man movies.
Home Alone.
But now I think it's very, very clear.
Home Run.
That this is going to be referring to all the alt universe characters not being able to get home. And the point of the movie, the plot of the movie, is going to be Spider-Man resetting the stuff that him and Strange do so all these characters get home.
So then the question needs to be asked, who brought them to this area? Is it the Strange spell?
It's got to be, right? It's the only thing that really makes
sense. So you say that, but the question now is, how does J. Jonah Jameson get there in the first place? Because is that the J. Jonah Jameson from the Tobey Maguire verse? Or is it just a different J. Jonah Jameson? Like an alternate J. Jonah Jameson. Because that might be what it is, unless Loki and WandaVision lines up with this, with the chaos magic. Or, and I think this is really what it is I think it is with the spell. That's when everything does kind of flip on its head. And you pointed out to me, well, why would J. Jonah Jameson still have the breaking news Peter Parker there? That's how conservative talk works. Everything's always breaking news.
Right. And you actually just bring up a good point I didn't really consider. So at the end of Far From Home, we get that J. Jonah Jameson post-credit, which sort of talked about what we talked about here.
Yeah.
When the best part of your movie is a post-credit or mid-credit, your movie's not that good. I don't think they ever thought they were actually going to do this, right? So they bring in a character from the Raimi-verse, thinking he's just now part of our universe, but now they're bringing the Raimi-verse in. So to that point, I think you could just explain it away by saying other versions of the same character could still look the same.
Yeah, because one of them's bald.
You bald, bitch.
I think that's easy enough.
I think that's where they're going with it.
So that's a good enough explanation for me. They're obviously, and we dealt with this in Endgame, you deal with time travel, you deal with complications, and sort of things you can't really explain or things that don't make sense. And that's going to happen in this Spider-Man
movie. And what's the answer, Mac? Magic.
Magic.
Always magic. But yeah, that is the standout scene from the movie. If you don't see the movie, I'm sure you can find that on YouTube very, very soon.
I guess it leaked on Twitter day of the movie, which is a real bummer for me.
That's a real bummer. I didn't see it though. I'm not a good sleuth. Either. I'm not a Slugworth.
Right.
Roald Dahl. I guess some other spoiler things, and we're not going through this whole movie. It's not good. I don't recommend it. But it's we do get it. Ravencroft.
Yeah, so I thought this was the institute we saw in New Mutants, but I guess that wasn't the case.
No.
It looked just like it. Looked the same.
They all look the same in all these Marvel movies, but they all have different names.
We have seen Ravencroft before, however, in the Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Are you sure? I gave it a Google, and it said this is the cinematic debut of Ravencroft.
Yeah, that's not true. Ravencroft is where we saw Electro in the Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's obviously like a different Ravencroft, but we have seen Ravencroft before, and I think they'll just tie those two together.
Are you sure? Because if you Google who wrote the Sokovia Accords, it says Tony Stark.
So I think that Ravencroft thing also could bring in some new connections. It's obviously a name in the comics, a notable place in the comics. And then you opened the spoiler alerts with this.
With what Detective everyone Mulligan. Really wants. Everyone's like, what's going to happen in Venom 3?
Detective Mulligan has blue eyes at the end, which I'm concerned at like, so Shriek had a blue eye because she had a bad eye. Does she also have some toxic?
By the way, let me toss this out.
I really understand it.
I'm done with characters that yell and you can see the vibrations of their voice. We've already seen this like 10 times now. I'm done.
There's no other way to show that, though. You got to do it like that.
You know who they should cast as one of those characters? Mariah Carey.
Oh,
and she can go.
Celine Dion.
Ah, can you hit that Mariah Carey high note?
Of course I can't. Maybe I'll hit
it's like a whistle. You know what they did last year is they did a Christmas special, and it was Mariah Carey and Ariana Grande. And those two can both do the whistle, right?
Real wailing, yeah.
But when you put the two whistles together, not great.
Well, different tone of the whistle.
You should only have one whistler. One whistler per song.
Who you got there, Mariah or Ariana?
I like Ariana, but I do understand the complaint about her diction.
I think you have to go Emancipation of Mimi because she was first, and Ariana sort of just copied that.
Yeah.
But I like Ariana's face more than I like Mariah's.
I'll tell you what. I just started watching The Voice. Not great.
I like The Voice for the idea of The Voice.
Yeah.
I don't care about the coaches of The Voice.
Right. And the coaches are all, you know, I'm glad that we're finally getting into this. Kelly Clarkson, I understand her appeal on her talk show. She seems like a very down-to-earth person that appeals to a wide range of Americans. On this show, she is just unbearable.
I really like Kelly Clarkson, and I think she's a good artist.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have the greatest voice ever, and she's a little too, like, country bumpkin-y for me.
Yeah.
You know? I don't need her cracking wise.
So two things here. Number one, she's also a great actress from Justin to Kelly. And then also, I think we just figured out your tattoo, just in big bold letters, exclamation point.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
I voted for Kelly, by the way.
Did you?
You seemed like you voted for Justin.
How many American Idols did you vote for?
Just that first one.
Just the first one?
Yeah.
You weren't in on Clay Aiken versus Ruben Studdard?
No, I didn't really care for either of those two. And the Fantasia won season 3, I think.
A Fantasia!
And I didn't like her. She had a good season, though. And then season 4 is that bullshit with Taylor Hicks.
Yeah.
They ousted Daughtry. And then the
is
final
Taylor Hicks
was
the really deep-voiced fella?
He was the Joe Cocker type.
I'm thinking more like he was the guy from the Bare Naked Ladies. Once there was this
but
boy.
Then the final three in that season was Hicks, Catherine McPhee, and Elliot Yameen. And Hicks was the worst one out of the four, and he won.
So poor Detective shit. Mulligan.
Yeah,
he's got blue eyes.
He's apparently coming back as Toxin, which is the fourth symbiote. We've seen Venom, we've seen Riot, we've seen Carnage. Now Toxin's the fourth. I don't know shit about Toxin.
Is that what these movies are? Is it just building up to a climactic ending of Sludge versus Sludge every single time? It should just be called Venom, Mirror Villains 1, Mirror Villains 2, Mirror Villains 3.
Yeah, this fight to the death stuff does get old. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. It does. And we had a very similar final battle with church bells and vibration, very much what we saw in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, but that's, I think, because it's like the only way to defeat the thing.
But we can't have every movie end like that.
Where would you find a big bell other than a church, though?
Taco Bell. The logo. Oh, Philadelphia. It's a big old bell there, right?
You can't ring that thing. It's going to break. It's going to crack in it.
Yeah, but it'll have like one really good ring, and then
isn't
it'll
that
fall
out
apart.
Of church?
Is it? Someone help us out, guys.
I've never been to Philadelphia.
I've only been there once, and I saw Rocky, the big statue.
You didn't see the Liberty Bell?
No.
You saw the Rocky statue,
yep.
But you didn't see one of the greatest pieces of American history ever.
Rocky 1, 2, 4, 5, Creed, and Creed 2 are all pretty good.
That's the best part. When Bill Burr is going in on the fucking Idiots of Philadelphia, he's like, your greatest thing in your whole city is dedicated to a fictional character, a fucking Rocky statue.
Any final thoughts here on this movie?
We saw She-Venom, right? We saw She-Venom again briefly. Yeah. They also kept, for you comic book fans at home, they kept the idea that these symbiotes are like offsprings of other symbiotes. So Carnage was Venom's son.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like the natural rivalry there. I guess Toxin's probably now going to be Carnage's son. So I don't maybe Toxin and Venom will be friends. I don't know. Enemy
granddads.
Friend.
Grandpops.
Yeah, pops. I don't know. I just, this movie, I'll probably never watch again. But I am glad we're getting more Eddie Brock Venom.
I am not. 18 hot dogs.
Let's get into Maxack.
And Maxack could be anything, and this week it is not a boat. But did you happen to catch on Netflix Attack of the Hollywood Clichés?
No. What the fuck is this?
It's pretty good. It's hosted by Rob Lowe, and it just goes through. Yes, hello.
What it kind of shows it?
It's just like an hour-long special where Rob Lowe, kind of like he introduces, like, this is a cliche in movies, and they show highlights from it, and then a comedian or a commentator will be like, oh, in this movie it happened here. So it's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah. We've sort of talked about that. You're pretty good at this, too. You know all of, like, the old school cliches and mm-hmm. stuff, especially for sitcoms and shit like that.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. It could be a little bit longer,
probably,
actually.
Too, right?
Hey, you know what? Here we go. My foot is moving forward. This could have been longer.
Wow.
Didn't need to shave any time off. You could have actually added 15 to 20 minutes.
That. It's only an hour? Is that what you said?
56 minutes.
Wow. In the history of the silver screen and mm-hmm. the big screen, you'd think
been a lot of cliches. A lot of cliches. Yeah. And also, keep this in mind, that might be one of our categories at something spooky? Trivia?
They should have done a top five for all of the cliches.
Countdown. Did you suggest doing a countdown? What? Did you just think of that?
There should be a YouTube channel dedicated to cliches. It probably is.
I know Austin Powers lost his mojo one time, and I watched that. And you're telling me is an internet show should do top 10 lists?
No. I don't want to rip anyone off. I'm not talking about top 10s. However, maybe top 4s, Mount Rushmore's. Wow. You know what? People would just think we're ripping off, pardon my take.
So hear me out. What about this? And no one's ever done this before. Top 6?
Might be onto something. You might be onto something.
I'll tell you what. Producing a YouTube video takes way too much time. I don't want to do that.
Video editing is time consuming.
Like, audio editing is already bad enough, and now you're adding the visual aspect of it.
Right. Right.
That's doubly as good. That's a callback to the critics thing from earlier.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's called going full circle, guys. All right, if you made it to this point in the podcast, please tweet us the mid-credit scene from this movie so we can watch it again. Just share a link with
us,
guys.
Wait, so let me try to... So our Sinister Six is going to be Venom, Doc Ock, Green Goblin, Vulture, Electro, and is Mysterio the sixth?
Vulture.
Or is...
Morbius.
Huh.
Morbius.
We got a sixth spot open. They got tryouts coming for the sixth man.
I was looking for Morbius most of this movie.
So is that movie actually going to come out?
Eventually.
And it is in this. So that is part of the MCU now, confirmed.
Not the MCU. It's different offsprings in association with Marvel.
Venom. Venom's in the MCU.
In association with Marvel. It even says it on the fucking title screen.
I know, but Morbius is going to be connected to Venom. Venom is in the MCU.
Not if he's not blipped over. Different verb. No, they can't all be blipping.
I know, but it's a good word for it.
Flashed over. They can't all be flashed.
Cocked over.
Yeah, cocked. That's what it is.
Dicked over.
All right, guys. Hey, Mac, where can you find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at Mac and Goo Podcast. On every other platform, we are Mac ampersand Goo. That's Mac Shift 7. Goo, it includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play, iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify, but more importantly, we're on Apple Podcasts. Get on there. Rate, review us, subscribe, 5 stars. If you do that, we're going to get you a free t-shirt from the folks over at Watertown Sportswear. That's Watertown Sportswear on 34 Mod Auburn Street in Watertown. The website's watertownsportswear.com. Watertown Sportswear experts, screen printing and embroidery.
tpublic.com merch. I think you should leave stuff is all over that place. That's Chunky! Exclamation point.
That's Chunky.
Check out that store. Point. Next week, Mac, What if?
I'll tell you what, Goo. What if is such a disappointment.
It is.
Especially the way it's looking like it's ending, where they are going to tie things up.
Yep.
What happened with the season. It could have been so much better.
I agree.
So much fucking better. And I sort of get why they left things open-ended in the other episodes, considering what they're doing at the end now. But I'll tell you what. The good part of this last episode, it was good enough that it got me to finally tune into you and Wes's YouTube thing. I finally paid attention to what you guys were saying. What if I was intrigued, because I was actually, I was more confused whether it was open-ended or if we were going to get a continuation. And I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating because the potential is there, right? This last episode finally gave us some ripple effects of the big thing. And the whole, you're just left wondering, well, you could have done this seven other times.
Right. So what I would say is, as of right now, I don't believe the ends justify the means.
I agree.
There we go.
I agree with that.
Okay. So check us out on Monday for a news dump and then Friday for What If. That'll do it for this week of Mac and Goo. Tuesdays are Goose Days, sometimes Fridays. And of course, other days are also Goose Days. Live every day like it's Goose Day. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.